Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
What do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
The docket. It is Tuesday, and it is game day for the Detroit Tigers for game three of the American League Division Series against the Seattle Mariners. And the Tigers, we'll see. I mean, this game should be able to go off without a hitch. Obviously, very rainy for the time being, but it should be clear looking at the forecast around that time. That shouldn't be any rain delays today. I was thinking going into today, like, if anything, we'll see maybe the game being pushed back until later in the day. But I think the game should be fine. Should be fine to start at the normal 4:08 start. So, Tigers, Mariners, tied at one game apiece. Tigers getting the extra innings win in game one on Saturday, and then falling 3-2 after tying the game in the top of the eighth inning, and then immediately losing the lead right back in the bottom of the eighth, and then unable to at least tie the game back in the top of the ninth. So again, it's easy to feel very let down and disappointed with, you know, this team, and they did. This team did miss a great opportunity to try to take a commanding 2-0 lead with games 3 and 4 at home. But, I mean, I said it in yesterday's show, I'll say it again today. In a playoff series, 5 games, 7 games, doesn't matter. When you're the road team for games 1 and game 2, I mean, all that you ask for at least to try to put yourself... I mean... Even if you go down 0-2, obviously the series isn't over, but if you want to set yourself up for at least early success in the series, got to at least go for the split. And that's what the Tigers did. And going into the series, if you told me after games 1 and 2, the Tigers would be tied 1-1, I would have been like, great. You know, they probably dropped the first game and then rebound with the second game with Tarek Skubal pitching. Obviously, that's not how it unfolded. But at the end of the day, I'll still take this two games tied. And now it becomes a 3-game series. Best 2 out of 3 with 2 of these games in Detroit. So it offers a great opportunity, Detroit, to try to take over, especially if they can get a win tonight with none other than
Jack Flaherty.
Was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
On the mound for the Detroit Tigers tonight. I mean, hey, he pitched well in his last game in the playoffs against Cleveland. So, hey, maybe he can pitch another good game again. But, hey, if the Tigers get the win today, lead 2-1. And they could potentially move on with a game tomorrow at home as well. And then if all else fails, it goes to a game 5. You got Tarek Skubal again on Friday. Tigers are still in a really good spot in this series. And I mean, it definitely could be worse. You could be the Yankees. Where, as I mentioned, if you go down 0-2, definitely not the end of the world. It's obviously a lot tougher in a best-of-five series like this division series in baseball than if it's a best-of-seven series going down 2-0 and you're the road team. But, man, the Yankees, not only are they down 2-0 to the Blue Jays, but, boy, they've had the doors blown off in both those games. So, yeah, the Tigers could definitely be in a lot worse of a situation going into today's game. So, as I mentioned, it's Jack Flaherty today. A lot of people speculating, myself included, that going into the series that it would be Mize and then Flaherty and then Skubal for a potential Game 5. But evidently, A.J. Hinch yesterday deciding to switch things up, so it's Jack Flaherty today and then Casey Mize tomorrow. So, and again, Jack Flaherty, he looked good. He has settled things down quite a bit in the last month. Of course, that's why I, you know, called him the box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. It's basically a coin flip every time this guy takes the mound. It's either going to be a great game or it's going to be a spectacular failure. Which, again, he looked really good against Cleveland in Game 3 of that series. 4 2/3 inning, only allowing 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Good stuff. And the Mariners obviously have a lot of deadly bats. And you heard them talk about in the broadcast in the first two games. This Mariners team, very similar to the Yankees, where these bats thrive on hitting home runs. A lot of power in the Seattle lineup. And obviously we saw that happen in the last game. Even in Game 1, obviously, with the solo home run with Julio Rodriguez in that first game. And then in yesterday's game, 2 solo home runs for Jorge Polanco. And I always say, you know, solo home runs aren't going to kill you. But the key for the Tigers, the Seattle Mariners have Logan Gilbert on the mound in this game, which he's had a really good season for the Mariners. He actually did pitch against the Tigers back in July, that series that the Mariners just absolutely thwomped the Tigers going into the All-Star break. No earned runs, but did allow 2 runs all the same in 5+ innings, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, 6 hits. And then back in April, got lit up a little bit against the Tigers. 3 runs on 5 innings, 5 hits. Did get 10 strikeouts and 1 walk. And the Tigers got to find a way to get contact in this one. I mean, that's been a problem all postseason because besides the big 7th inning against the Guardians and that winner-takes-all game 3 in the wild card round where the Tigers able to push across 4 runs. I mean, the Tigers, it's only been like 1, 2, 3 runs. And I talked about yesterday how much of a stress that puts on your pitching staff as a whole, not just the starting pitcher, but the whole pitching staff, to try to limit the other team day in, day out to, you know, only 1 run, 2 runs. So, I mean, in the last game, Tigers just couldn't get on base. Previously in this postseason, it's been where the Tigers seems like they consistently get at least 1 or 2 guys on, you know, with 1 or 0 outs, but then they just don't do anything once they get guys on base. Last game, they couldn't even get guys on base to begin with. So to me, it was impressive that the Tigers were actually able to put together that late push in the 8th inning to actually get that big hit once they get guys on base to come through and tie the game. So, because the way it was going, it was looking like the Tigers were going to get shut out in that last game. So, Tigers have to find a way to get this batting order going. And I don't know if this is something that A.J. Hinch maybe considers shifting around a little bit. Some of these guys that are, you know, performing exceptionally well. Javi Baez comes to mind, maybe moving a guy like that up in the batting lineup. And then meanwhile, guys who are struggling, like Wenzel Perez. And even though Spencer Torkelson was able to get that big hit and tie the game, I mean, he has overall struggled this postseason as well. So maybe some other moves in the batting order to try to generate more of those innings where the Tigers are able to get guys on and try to find a way to get him home. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Tigers, they got to find a way to start scoring runs because the pitching staff, they've performed great in the postseason, but it's just really tough even when the pitchers are only allowing two or three runs as a team. That is the norm. Not, you know, obviously you never want the pitchers to, you know, completely fall apart, and, you know, really tough when you're giving up run after run, you know, 5, 6, 7 runs. But Tigers have to get on base. They have to find a way to drive in runs, especially in front of this home crowd, which, you know, Detroit's going to be rocking for this one right here. All right, recapping some of the other playoff series going on right now. Of course, I mentioned the Yankees. They got dominated in the first two games of the Blue Jays series. I mentioned that sometimes with these first-round buys, these wild-card round buys, sometimes that can hurt a team, and they lose their momentum, and we've seen these teams get eliminated early in the past. It has not happened with the Blue Jays. They came out completely clicking, firing on all cylinders. The Yankees, as a matter of fact, going down 12-0 through 5 innings in Game 2, specifically just really ugly series for the Yankees. So, of course, those two teams playing each other today. Yankees at home have a chance to try to extend the series. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays have a chance to punch their ticket to the American League Championship Series. Meanwhile, in the National League, Phillies Dodgers. Been a really close series so far. And especially in the first game, it was really interesting. Shohei Ohtani finally pitching in a playoff game. Really good to see. But the Phillies actually led 3-0 early. Shohei was able to settle down on the mound, finish very strong. And then the Dodgers in the late innings, breaking through against the bullpen, able to get those runs in the 6th, 7th innings, win 5-3 in the first game of the series. And then in last night's game, scoreless for a while. I mean, shoot, I was getting some flashbacks to games 1 and 2 of this Tigers-Mariners series. Tigers break through in the 7th inning with 4 runs. Phillies make a late push, scoring a run in the 8th, and then 2 runs in the bottom of the 9th, but just could not get that tying run in for the score. So the Phillies at home go down 2-0, and now going on the road to Dodger Stadium for games 3 and 4. I mean, obviously at this point, game 4, not even a guarantee. So the Phillies have to find a way to bear down, get a win on the road. Meanwhile, the Dodgers a chance at home to clinch a spot in yet another National League Championship Series. Meanwhile, the Brewers, talked about them. They were the hottest team in baseball the second half of the season, really the last two-thirds of the season, as they went on a huge winning streak, able to vault themselves as the number one team in MLB in terms of their record, and that momentum has continued in the postseason. They got the first round bye, taking on their division rival, the Chicago Cubs, dominated them right from the get-go, 6 runs in the first inning. In that first game, take a 9-3 win in that first game. And then yesterday, game 2, Cubs come out with a 3-0 lead in the top of the first inning on a 3-run home run, and then come right back with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the first. Close. And then the Brewers able to pile it on in the 3rd and 4th innings and able to take that one 2-0. And the Cubs going at home trying to extend the series in their next game. Of course, you've got the Mariners, Tigers, and Blue Jays, Yankees tonight. And then, of course, you've got four games potentially tomorrow, depending on the results of the Blue Jays Yankees game, with the other National League games going down tomorrow. So Tigers game at 4:08. Again, maybe slight potential that it gets delayed a little bit. I don't think so. You know, with all the rain today, looks like it should clear up in Detroit before then. We got Jack Flaherty and Logan Gilbert on the mound in this one. Tigers at home. It's now a best of three series. Two of these three games are at home. Have to find a way to get the bats going, try to get those runs across, and try to take a 2-1 lead with a chance to move on in tomorrow's game four. Dan Campbell spoke with the media looking ahead to this next game for the Lions. Kansas City Chiefs, big Sunday night football matchup. We're going to hear some of his comments on the other side. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellinote, Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Polly's Country Markets. Family-owned and operated for four generations. They treat their employees like family. They treat you like family. You definitely feel it. And they got a lot of great deals in store as well. See them online, country-markets.com, or experience some of those deals like the Buy 5, Save 5 promotions. Anything that says mix and match and save even more with the My Market Rewards program. Country-markets.com, Polly's Country Market. See the location nearest you. Convenient locations in Jackson County. Dan Campbell spoke with the media yesterday. Detroit Lions winning their fourth game in a row on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now 4-1 in a, 5-6-way tie atop the National Football League with a 4-1 record. Dan Campbell's press conference yesterday, following practice. Of course, some of these answers regarding the Chiefs. Keep in mind, this was before the Chiefs ended up falling in Monday Night Football last night to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Crazy game. We're going to get on that later in the show. But here's the opening of the press conference. Not the full opening statement for Dan Campbell. Spoke for like three and a half minutes. A little bit too long of a clip. But I cut it to the point where he talks about the specific players who performed well in this Cincinnati Bengals win.
It was all together. That was a team win. Took all three phases. Defensively, man, Hutch and Alex had big games. Muhammad, Reader, T.A., Rock, and Branch, were big on offense. Laporta, Goff. I mean, Goff's playing at a high level, very efficient. We put a lot on his plate, man, him getting us in the right play. David Montgomery, Sewell, Tesla, St. Brown, J-Mo. J-Mo, he didn't have this high production of the catches, the targets, but man, his blocking was outstanding. Run game all day long, he was physical, getting after it. So he found another way to help us produce and help the offense. And then obviously Gibbs, special teams. Craig Reynolds had a big game. Sailors, Nowalski, O'Connor, and then already mentioned Bates. So it was a good day. It's a good win. Yes, there's things to clean up, and we will clean them up, but then we're going to get ready for Kansas City.
And this team, I said going into the season, this team has just so much talent on it, almost too much talent to not be successful. And they have been definitely showing it in the first about third of the season, just finding different ways to win and you know, it still just feels like they haven't really cracked the surface. But as he mentioned, just all the different guys that make a big impact on the game. I'm just so much talent on this team. And even if one of those guys isn't going off for a big game individually, they're still finding ways to contribute and make a big impact in other ways. Like he mentioned, Jameson Williams specifically. Think of this guy. I mean, hasn't really had the biggest season in terms of numbers, but I mean, this guy is just so talented. I mean, think about, you know, how many other teams in the NFL that this guy would probably be a number one receiver on. I mean, that's how much talent this guy has. And, you know, he just hasn't had a lot of opportunities to make a lot of catches. Obviously, he has this season, but haven't had many of those opportunities. But, I mean, the team is significantly successful regardless. And, of course, I think he would take, you know, the team's success over his own individual success. So that's just a good example of this team just having so much talent on it and everybody finding ways to contribute and definitely all coming together for the team in this 4-1 start, specifically the last four games. And Dan Campbell commented on the fact that this team is tied atop the NFL with a 4-1 record, but still so much room for improvement. I say time and time again, it still feels like there's a whole nother gear that this team has to hit.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, there again, here's what you love, man. Our guys, they're competitive. They want to be perfect. They work at it every day. And, you know, you put a ball out there and put somebody in front of them, they're going to work. You know, they're going to go compete and they're trying to win. So that always fires me up. And then just to know that, man, we took that game plan, they brought it to life, and yet we left so much out there. That is what encourages you. And it's just a couple of things here and there that are all very easily taken care of, correctable, and man, our production goes up even more than what it's been. So that's exciting. That fires you up. But it also, we know what's coming down the road here. And the first one here is Kansas City. And what Kansas City does well is they win. They freaking win. That's what they do, man. They find ways to win, and they'll exploit you when you make mistakes. They'll capitalize on them. So we got to be on point and clean some of these things up. So we got a chance to go in there and compete against these guys.
And again, keep in mind that this press conference was done before the Monday Night Football last night with the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Of course, the Chiefs did not find a way to win last night, but I mean, still going along with what he's saying. I mean, this is now a Kansas City team that is now 2-3, but this team is a lot better than 2-3. You know, definitely this is not the team to sleep on, especially playing at Arrowhead, one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. And again, the Lions still just have some things to clean up in all areas. You know, offense, defense, special teams, things to clean up. But, I mean, just despite that, they're still just so freaking good. And unfortunately, part of the season, starting to see some of these injuries pile up again, which is not what you want to see, especially with how last season went with the defensive injuries. I mean, at this point, got Terrion Arnold. He was able to still play in this last game, but eventually, of course, had to leave again. Of course, you got another cornerback, Khalil Dorsey. He is doubtful with this next game. Of course, DJ Reed, he's going to be out for some time, and then just some of these other injuries on the defensive side. You know, hopefully at some point in the season, getting back guys like Aleem McNeil, Josh Pascal. You know, some of these injuries piling up, but it seems like the corners, the defensive backfield, those are what's piling up right now. And this team just has to keep that next man up mentality. Campbell asked about some of these injuries piling up already again.
Well, I mean, it really is the same as last year. It's just now it's on the front end. You know, the front end was last year, the D line, we got hit at linebacker. And so now, you know, we've been pretty good there, and now it's on the back end. So, you know, you tweak a couple of things, and front's got to get there a little quicker, and our DBs, man, get up there and challenge, compete. And we'll adjust, we'll adapt, and we move on.
And speaking of these injuries, of course, with the cornerbacks hurt, you know, we were able to see one guy in particular with the next man up, Rock Ya-Sin. He had a big game stepping up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan Campbell asked about his impact stepping in amidst those other injuries.
I thought he did a good job yesterday, man. He did exactly what we asked him to do. The plan was good. He executed well in that plan. And look, here's what you love about Rock, man. He plays fearless. He's not afraid. He doesn't care who he's going against. He's aggressive. He'll challenge. He challenges at the release point. He challenges at the catch point. He'll run up. He'll tackle. He'll hit. And, man, that's all you can ask for. That's all we're looking for here.
And this was a guy that we saw a lot during the preseason. And evidently, you know, cracking this roster. And, you know, now he's being asked to step up amidst all these other injuries. And again, I thought he did really well against the Bengals, making an impact, especially with DJ Reed out. And now Terrion Arnold out, going to be missing some time with that injured shoulder. And it's not just the defensive side, of course. There's still some of those offensive injuries in there. Of course, Taylor Decker, he's still listed as questionable for this next game with a shoulder injury. And we saw how much of an impact he makes just with his absence in this last game on the offensive line. And also Khalif Raymond. I mean, this guy's been big in the special teams department and asked about potentially. I have to play these clips. Whenever Dan Campbell talks about Isaac Tesla, I got to play these clips. I guess you can call me a Tesla stan. I love me some Isaac Tesla. And asked about with Khalif Raymond being injured, depending on his status for this next game, will we see a larger role for Mr. Isaac Tesla?
Certainly they go way up, and, you know, those will be important reps for him. You know, I thought he stepped in yesterday. I mentioned this last night, and, you know, he got the mental reps, but he didn't get all the physical reps. Once Leaf went down, we thought he stepped up and really handled his business well. I mean, he helped us. So that's impressive for a young guy to mentally know, you know, what his job description is for those plays. So now he's going to get more play time. And he will now get these reps for sure in practice, which will only help him. So he'll be ready to go, you know. And then we'll see where Leaf's at on Wednesday. We'll know more.
And, hey, that's what you got to do when you are not only a rookie, but you're one of these, you know, backup guys. You always got to be ready to step in and, you know, and go from having a spot snap here and there to, you know, having more consistent snaps in the game. So, and Tesla, based on what we've seen, I mean, this guy is just a gamer. Just goes out, he knows his role, he does his job, and if he does have to step up, I know we're definitely going to have a lot of success with this guy, because this guy just has that hard nose, that blue collar mentality. Just go out, work his butt off, and do what he can to help the team win. Really fun to see whenever we get these touchdowns as well. Has had a lot of these crazy, you know, one-handed catches so far this season. Had another touchdown catch in this last game. Granted, with two hands, not with one hand, with two hands. But, you know, Khalif Raymond, he's made a big impact with the team this season, especially in the special teams aspect. But, you know, that's at least a positive that we can look at with his injury specifically. Not hoping that he gets hurt. You know, obviously, you know, you'd rather him be healthy. But, you know, some of the other guys, specifically Taylor Decker, a little bit harder to replace. Meanwhile, with Khalif Raymond, it just opens up an opportunity for my guy, Isaac Tesla. Week 5 of the NFL season is in the books with last night's Monday Night Football game. Going to wrap up, recap what happened in Week 5 of the NFL. Lots of crazy games, lots of crazy plays to discuss. Coming up on the other side, this is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
on the docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bell & O'Tee, Restaurante, Bud Lights, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hot Spot, where you build raw functional strength and core stability, improve your cardiovascular endurance and metabolic conditioning, and enhance your mobility, balance, and coordination, all without the wear and tear of a traditional workout. Join the team today, Kettlebell Hot Spot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. Week 5 of the National Football League in the books. Of course, we already know the Lions take down the Bengals, improve to 4-1. Back to Thursday Night Football. Niners. Really interesting. A lot of guys hurt. Of course, Brock Purdy, he was out again, had some wide receivers out as well, but still able to take down the LA Rams 26-23 in overtime, especially with how Matthew Stafford has been playing so far this season and in this game. It's a big win for San Francisco, which I wrote them off. I mean, even with them healthy, I'm not really a big 49ers guy this season, but that's a big win for them. Meanwhile, back to Sunday, besides the Lions game, Vikings-Browns in London. Vikings able to get the 21-17 win with a late touchdown, 25 seconds left in order to pull that one off. So the Browns almost able to take down another NFC North team. Obviously able to upset the Packers 2 weeks ago. Lions able to handle business against them, but Browns almost able to take down the Vikings in that one, but the Vikings able to come out on top. New York Jets, only winless team in the NFL this season, just getting smoked at home against the Dallas Cowboys, which, again, 37-22, that's a closer score than this one actually was. This one was not close, and it's a really ugly start for Aaron Glenn in his head coaching tenure with the New York Jets. And Jets, again, I think this is a team that is a lot worse than many people thought they would be. Not that anybody thought that they would be a good team by any stretch of the imagination, but don't think anybody expected them to be this bad. Meanwhile, Dallas Cowboys, maybe not as bad as we thought. Upset. First of the upsets this week. Denver Broncos taking down the Philadelphia Eagles 21-17. And why this one is significant is the Eagles led 17-3 going into the fourth quarter, and the Denver Broncos with a crazy comeback, scoring 18 points unanswered, resulting in a critical field goal that put the team up 4 with 1 minute left, which, of course, forced the Eagles to have to go for the touchdown to win the game. They can't just, you know, go into field goal range and kick it for the win, but big win for the Broncos, of course, getting their season on track, starting 2-2, looking a little rocky. A lot of people had this team as a dark horse contender in the AFC. Of course, I didn't believe that, but a lot of people believing that. And that's a big win for them. Meanwhile, the Eagles suffer their first loss, and it comes at home. Texans-Ravens. Ravens, no Lamar Jackson in this one. They had Cooper Rush. And yikes, Ravens, they're in some trouble. They fall 44-10. Of course, a lot of these injuries, you know, affecting that loss. But boy, off to a 1-4 start. This team is, they're in some hot water, and it does not get any easier for them. They got the Rams in this next game. You know, maybe a string of games to get back on track after their bye week. They got the Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. So, well, they have a chance to try to turn things around through November. Really, the rest of the season, they have a pretty advantageous schedule. They got the Packers later in the year, which will be interesting. But, wow, I don't think many people had the Ravens starting 1-4 this year. I can tell you that. Moving on, Giants-Saints. You know, a lot of people making a lot of hype of Jackson Dart getting his first start with the Giants and getting the win against a really good Chargers team. But they bounce back and they fall to the Saints. Saints getting their first win on the season. And of course, this was a toilet bowl. This was the opposite of the Super Bowl. This is one of those games that it's just two terrible teams. Two teams specifically who were in the running even going into the season for being the worst team in the NFL. And the Saints come up with their first win. Colts continue their hot start, 40-6 over the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders, that's another team that a lot of people expected them to be a bad team again. Maybe not this bad. You know, trying to turn things around with, you know, Geno Smith after the great season he had last year with the Seahawks. You know, maybe this team and Pete Carroll, too, especially as the new head coach of the Raiders, thinking this would get off to a little bit of a hotter start. But the Colts, man, they're looking good to start this year. Granted, they have had a little bit of a weak schedule. They did have a pretty impressive win over the Broncos in week two. Say what you will about that team. About that win, you know, the late penalty that kind of bailed them out, getting that last field goal. But otherwise, their wins, Dolphins, Titans, and the Raiders, and their lone loss against the Rams. So, but hey, Colts, they're taking care of business of the teams in front of them. One of the 4-1 teams to start the year. Dolphins, Panthers, pretty bad matchup. Panthers winning 27-24. Dolphins off to a 1-4 start. Meanwhile, the Panthers 2-3. Not much for me to say on that one. Buccaneers again winning on a field goal. Like, that's the only way that this Buccaneers team can win. They're 4-1, and all four of those wins coming by way of a late score in the dying seconds. So, hey, I'm just saying. Lions better be careful. Of course, this Buccaneers team able to beat the Lions at home last year. And these two teams face up in 2 weeks. So, yeah, that's going to be a really interesting matchup. If the Lions are only up by 2 or 3 points and the Buccaneers have the ball with the last minute, I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be real nervous in that one. But a big road win against the Seattle Seahawks, off to a really good start to the season. And a side note, loved the uniforms in this one. A double throwback game. The Seahawks wearing their throwbacks, and so are the Buccaneers. I think more teams need to do that. Shocker, another shocker, Tennessee Titans. They're no longer winless. They get their first win, 22-21 over the Cardinals. And they made a late comeback just like the Broncos did against the Eagles. 16 points scored unanswered in that fourth quarter, including a pick six and then a last second field goal, getting the Titans their first win. That's a bad collapse for this Cardinals team. Yikes. Just brutal. 2-3 wins against the Saints and Panthers, who are bad. Meanwhile, tough losses against 49ers, Seahawks, and then just like that, the Titans. That's rough right there. Commanders, Chargers. Commanders win 27-10. Jaden Daniels comes back and able to take down the Chargers, who lose two games in a row. Losing against the Giants and now the Commanders. Chargers might be losing some momentum after their 3-0 start. And another upset. Upset alert. 23-20. Patriots and the Bills. Checking the score, I did not watch this game, but checking the score throughout the game, I was always shocked about how close and low scoring it was. But hey, the Patriots defense finding a way to slow down Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and Patriots finding a way to gut out a division win on the road in Sunday Night Football. And last but not least, last night's game. I caught the very end. You know, Jacksonville actually led 21-14 going into the fourth quarter. Chiefs able to tie things up and even take the lead late. Less than 2 minutes left on a Kareem Hunt touchdown. And the Jaguars finding a way to chip their way up the field in a crazy game-winning play. It was 23 seconds left. Of course, the Chiefs had some chances in the last 20 seconds of the game afterwards, but Trevor Lawrence, they get it, you know, the Jaguars get it, with a pass interference call in the end zone so they get the ball on the 1 yard line. And Trevor Lawrence, he took the snap and he stumbled. He tripped as he got the snap, and he kind of fell twice. And nobody on Kansas City able to kind of sneak through and get him down. So Lawrence able to get back up and slip through after stumbling twice and able to go through and get into the end zone for the touchdown. So that's a bad touchdown to give up if you're Kansas City. But that was a thrilling win for the Jaguars, who are off to a really good start. 4-1, it's another 4-1 team. Their defense, specifically, their defense is looking really good, and that's why they're off to this great start. So there you go. That is week 6 of the NFL. And now that I'm looking at, actually 7 teams are now 4-1. You got the Lions, Jaguars, Buccaneers, Eagles, Bills, Niners, and Colts. And really surprising with the Bills and Eagles. You expected them to be 5-0 after this week. The Eagles, of course, collapsing against the Broncos, and the Bills lay an egg against the Patriots. And just like that, nobody is undefeated, and the New York Jets, the last winless team in the National Football League. But it's been a really close start to the season so far. And the Lions 4-1, of course, they don't necessarily, sure, are they tied atop the NFC? Yeah. Are they the leader in the division? Yeah, which is something that you always want to see. But, I don't necessarily look at it like a right now thing. I look at it as, playoff teams, you usually got to get to double-digit wins to be a playoff team. Are the Lions going to make the playoffs this year? Yeah, that's not a question at this point. Of course, the big question is if the Lions can take the division again. Which I do think they can. I mean, we'll see how the Packers bounce back after their bye week this past week. But the Lions, get to double digits. They're already 4 wins in, so they just got to win 6 more games when you look at it this way. If they want to sneak into the... Sneak in, yeah, that's not going to happen. If they want to just be in the playoffs, which they will, lots of winnable games for the rest of the season. But they probably got to get to at least, 13-14 wins if they want to try to secure the division. Of course, it depends on the other division teams, namely the Packers, how they're performing. But there are still some pretty tough games on this schedule. Of course, this next game is going to be tough against the Chiefs. Buccaneers, don't sleep on that Buccaneers team in 2 weeks going into the bye week. And again, you got the Commanders, you got the Eagles, Vikings. That's going to be a division matchup. We've got another matchup with the Packers that can pretty much decide the division at that point in late November. Got the Rams later. So lots of tough games for this Lions team. But hey, 4 wins in. You think about it, another 6 wins to go to officially make the playoffs. And if they're able to, stack on another 3-4 on top of that, should be good for another division win. And the Lions have been rolling through. And we'll see. Hopefully get a repeat of the season opening game from 2 seasons ago where the Lions able to go into Arrowhead and get the big win. And that's coming up on Sunday Night Football this Sunday. Interesting Mark Sanchez news. Really interesting story there on the weekend. We're going to break that down to wrap up the show. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water. So, crazy story over the weekend. Mark Sanchez, former NFL quarterback and current analyst with Fox Sports, news broke that Mark Sanchez was hospitalized in Indianapolis following an incident where he got stabbed. And it was like, oh, shoot. And then it came out that he was now in custody from the hospital after getting treated for being stabbed. And it's like, whoa, what the heck went down? So more details have come out. Turns out this was like a midnight altercation. And it was over a parking spot. So it was outside of the hotel that Mark Sanchez was staying at. And according to the affidavit, Mark Sanchez had been drinking and started berating this truck driver. And Mark Sanchez, again, apparently over this parking space, he basically pulled this guy out of his truck and started, you know, beating him. The truck driver doused him with pepper spray and then pulled a knife on him in self-defense. So it definitely sounds like a drunken Mark Sanchez here. Again, this is all alleged. But from what it sounds like he allegedly, gotta be careful, that he seems to be the party at fault, if you will. And even coming out that this truck driver is suing both Mark Sanchez and Fox Sports as a result of this violent fight. And I actually saw pictures of this guy. Like, man, this... Yeah, I see why he pulled a knife. I mean, Mark Sanchez really did a number on this guy. And, of course, we'll get more information as time goes on, as the investigation proceeds onward. But, yeah, crazy news. Fall from grace for the former NFL quarterback, Mark Sanchez. That former pro athlete or not. So, crazy story there out of the National Football League. So, NHL season, as we wrap up the show, last couple minutes. NHL season starting tonight starts with the Florida Panthers. Going to have their ring ceremony. Saw their Stanley Cup championship rings. Of course, going back-to-back looks really nice. Hosting the Chicago Blackhawks at 5 as the 2025-2026 NHL season officially kicks off. And then 8 o'clock, Rangers at home against the Penguins. Penguins are expected to be a pretty bad team this year. And the Rangers, just like the Red Wings, celebrating their 100-year season this year. And then the late game, 10:30 on the West Coast, LA Kings and the Colorado Avalanche kicking things off. And as I mentioned, the Detroit Red Wings, their first game is not until Thursday at home against the Montreal Canadiens. Imagine that. I mean, we could have it 2 years in a row where we got the first Red Wings game of the season at home with a Detroit Tigers playoff game right across the street at Comerica. Oh, I'm sorry. Fifth Third Park, as it's potentially going to be called, as Comerica bought out yesterday by Fifth Third Bank. Will it be Fifth Third Park? Will it be a new name? I don't care. Just bring me back Tiger Stadium. That's what I say. But we live in the era of advertising, so it's going to be an ad. Depends on what the name is going to be. But anyways, Tigers play tonight at 4. If it goes to a game five, geez, I can't even get my numbers in order. If it goes to a it will go to a game four tomorrow. Should be 3 o'clock. I'm looking the time. Of course, the time depends for the Yankees-Blue Jays game, so I'm not sure if that would change. They have it penciled in as of right now as a 3 o'clock game tomorrow. But regardless, you know, going to have a lot of fans, I guess, probably going to be experiencing some Tigers playoff baseball. And then just when that game's over, just go across the street to Little Caesars and enjoy some Red Wings hockey please, Red Wings, have a good season. I mean, geez, I'm tired of this non-playoff stuff. Let's make some strides. Let's get into the playoffs already. Last little tidbit here, Detroit Pistons. Their first preseason game last night, 128-112 over the Memphis Grizzlies, scoring 50 points in the second quarter in a preseason game, for crying out loud, with Cade Cunningham in 18 minutes, 20 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in the win. So we'll continue to watch that space in the NBA preseason. And that'll do it for On the Docket today. Detroit Tigers again, first pitch at 4:08 on these airwaves. Come on, Tigers. Come on, Jack Flaherty. Let's get this win. Let's take it a 2-1 series lead against the Mariners. Goodbye, everybody.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.